say these two things. The son, money makes the world go round, so make sure you get plenty of it. And people say, you know, money talks. And I was looking up famous quotes, and I heard this before by a comedian, which I thought was an original saying he'd given, but it wasn't. Someone said, money talks. The only thing with my money is it keeps saying goodbye, which I thought was very funny. And John put up the Beatles song, which I did know, actually didn't realise that I knew this song, but the other one that I was going to use was the ABBA song, you know, money, 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 it's so funny, in a rich man's world. Oh. No. But I haven't got your dulcet tones, Toddy. You know, and the other thing about money is, and something that I would think about sometimes, and I'm sure others in here would think, if I had all this money, all my worries would disappear. I can tell you, I know wealthy people where money becomes their burden. Because instead of trying to make it disappear, they're worried about losing it. And it's the reverse. They end up with all this money and they're scared to spend it. They don't know where to put it. I mean, here's an example. If you have £1 million, say you have £10 million, and you put £1 million in each one of the local banks, and each one of those banks goes down the chute, you only get £85,000 back out of that £1 million you put in. Hello? Your money is not safe in the bank if the bank goes down, and that's what nearly happened a couple of years ago. Okay, here's a couple of ways people get rich. Betting, gambling to make your fortune, and the National Lottery. And the National Lottery is a common one. There's a couple of guys in Northern Ireland who are now property developers, and they made millions and millions out of one ticket for the National Lottery. People dream of making millions of pounds. I used to sit and dream up great ways of making money and have never managed it yet. But people want to make money and they want to make it fast. People don't want to put the effort into making money. Buy a lottery ticket, gamble it, put your pound on and you might win the lottery. And then, of course, with money, happiness isn't guaranteed. And you see sometimes in the papers about, you know, I won 10 million in the National Lottery, but my wife left me, I got divorced, I found somebody else, and I spent all my money on the horses, and now I haven't a penny left. And that happens. Money controls the person instead of the person controlling the money. Now, Judy tonight read for me from Luke chapter 12 concerning a rich man who had all his wealth that he needed. He had everything that he needed, but his ground was good. In other words, it produced plenty. He had good crops, and he was able to produce more and more and more. And so what did he think he was going to do? I've so much coming in, and I can't contain all my wealth. I'm going to knock down my barns. I'm going to phone inside-out architects. Pun. Listen. They're going to come and design the biggest barns in the world, and I'm going to put all my money into it. And then I'm going to sit back and relax and enjoy all my wealth and have a great time. I have clients, like I said, who are scared of losing money, and they're trying to get all the money they can in and keep it all safe and try and look after it. Because money gives you a status. Money gives you position. Money gives you power. Money gives you everything you need. I was thinking about some famous people today. I was thinking about Rooney, the footballer. Ronaldo, the footballer. I was thinking about Bill Gates, Microsoft, Tiger Woods, even Rory McIlroy. And these people are making millions and millions of pounds a year. And so much money they can't spend it all. In fact, Bill Gates gives away a ridiculous amount of money to charity each year, and that's a great cause. And people think doing that is a good thing, and they're under the covenant of works, if you will, that we talked about, doing good things to reap hopefully good things in the future. I'll come to that in a minute. Just because you're doing good things with your money doesn't guarantee you a ticket into heaven. But people have so much wealth they don't know how to spend it. Now, me and Toddy and Dave were speaking the other night, and I was talking about, you know, if I had £10 million, I don't know how I would spend it. Tariq said, I'd have no problem spending it. And I said, but how? He says, get the internet, you can go on, you can buy everything you want, and you can do it very quickly. Because there's a film called Brewster's Millions that we were talking about, and he had to spend £30 million in a week to gain his £300,000 inheritance, and he found it really difficult to do that. Now, I would find it hard to spend £30 million in a week, I must say. So this rich man that we're talking about in the parable, he decides that he's going to knock down all the barns, he's going to make another barn, and then he's going to put all his money, and believing in his money, and believing in his wealth for his happiness and his security, because he says, my soul will be happy. I will be joyful. I can sit down. I can relax. I've got it all sorted. I've got all the money. I've no problems. Everything's tickety-boo. People with money relax, take it easy, have comfort and security and safety. They're acknowledged by other people because of their wealth. They want to sit beside them. They're the people you want to cozy up to. The people you want to know. Those with money only have it because God has blessed them to have it. All gold and silver belongs to God. God gives to whom he will and he takes away from whom he will. All money and gold and silver belongs to God. So, I thought it says still one of John's wee things tonight. Making loads of money to store up and make me happy. Believing in your wealth to make you happy and secure. Does money bring you happiness? No. Does it make you feel better? Yes. Wee bit. Does it make you feel secure? Yes, money can do all these things. It can do all these material things. It makes you feel good. You have nice food. Your wife even goes to Marks and Spencer's if she asks me nicely. If it's a good week, it's Marks. If it's a bad week, it's Asda's. That's how it goes in our house. You can buy your holidays. You can even see friends. You can do all these lovely things. You can have influence. All the things I've talked about. That's what money can do for you. That's wonderful. Material things. Lovely jubbly. Now, can money buy happiness or your health? Money can't buy your health, sure it can't. So all the millions you have, and you get a serious cancer, by that I mean an aggressive type that you're not going to recover from, can your money save you? No. Can money buy and secure your salvation? No. So there's two very important things. One very important thing that money can't do. Money can't heal you from a serious disease that will kill you, and money certainly can't secure your salvation. So, can't heal you from cancer, can't take away any serious illnesses, can't take away a mental illness, can it? £1 million and you suddenly take a mental illness, can't heal that. You got a broken heart, money can't heal a broken heart, can't mend a broken heart. You know, fall out of love, money isn't going to buy them back. Sometimes money can buy you love, actually. Did somebody write that? The Beatles, didn't they? Buy me love. But more importantly, it cannot buy your internal, your salvation. Okay, in the passage that Julie read for me, there is a warning, a severe warning. In fact, it was more than a warning. It was what was going to happen. But God said to him, and this struck me, and I have read this parable I don't know how many times, and it's one of the only parables, I spoke briefly to Taddy Dave about it this morning, where Jesus is given a parable, and usually a parable is a story that Jesus gives about a situation that has one direct point to be made, which we're looking at, but in this parable, Jesus refers to God the Father, and it's the first time I've seen this in an actual parable. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul will be demanded from you or taken from you." Jesus in the parable warns the rich man of the direct effect that his dependence and love of money and wealth is going to have on his very life. Presuming he had millions of years to go and all the wealth and all the health and everything, he was going to sit back and take it easy. Life's a holiday. I'm going to enjoy everything that I have. And God says, "You fool. Tonight your soul will be demanded from you. You cannot depend upon tomorrow. Tomorrow is promised to no man. You cannot depend upon your wealth for tomorrow. It is not promised to you." And the important thing here, other than that God is the one who gives life and takes away life, is the fact that he will take your soul. Now, I was talking to Ruth about this week, and we were talking about what the soul is and where it is in the body, and is it, can you see it? Is it tangible? All this kind of thing. And we had a pigeon. Now, this poor pigeon must have done 1,000 miles. And he came into our back garden. I came home one afternoon. Guys, is it daddy? There's a pigeon in the garden. There's a pigeon in the garden. So I went in. I said, "Right, enough, there's a pigeon." And he was wrecked. And I said, "Leave him be. Leave him be. If he gets better and he's happy, he'll fly off. If not, we'll see him in the morning." So get up the next day. Girls are playing at the back. Daddy, what? The pigeon's still there. Right, good. Bad news, daddy. What's that? Pigeon's dead. I said, "Right, Rachel. Daddy, where's the pigeon now?" She's clever. I says, pigeons in heaven. Right, Daddy? Pigeons in heaven. Why is a pigeon still there? I said, because the pigeon's spirit and soul is in heaven. Daddy? Yes, Rachel. What's the soul? Hannah? Rachel, the soul is yourself inside yourself. And I thought that just summed it up for me. You know, our spirit, our soul is within us. We can't see it. We can't measure it. You can't. Doctors don't know where it is. It's not tangible that way. It is you. Your whole being is what you are. It's inside you. It's the spirit of your life. And so I was so thankful that Hannah gave us, your spirit is himself inside you. That's what your spirit is tonight. But your soul is required from you. Soul is very important. You only have one soul. You cannot replace your soul. If it's faulty, it doesn't work, it's defective, you think there's something wrong with your soul. You cannot buy a new soul, swap your soul, find somebody else's soul. You cannot sell your soul, but you can lose your soul by that. I mean your salvation on death. Once you've died, once you've crossed over from life to death, there's nothing you can do about it. And you cannot retrieve the situation. You cannot go back to who you were and bring your soul back. It's over. You cannot borrow or lend your soul. And after death, your soul, or you, go to one of two places. One being with God, and the other, eternal separation from him. Now, just so happened this week on Facebook, I got a cracker this week on Facebook. Oh, I didn't. I got this as a message from a Facebook. They were scared to put it up. Jacksonville, Florida, this week. Tito and Amanda Watts were arrested over the weekend for selling golden tickets to heaven. This is true. To hundreds of people. The couple who sold the tickets in the street for $99.99 per ticket told buyers the tickets were made from solid gold and each ticket reserved the buyer a spot in heaven. Simply present the ticket at the pearly gates and you're in. And I thought, happy days. This came from an atheist. And he said to me, I cannot believe what I've just read. And I said, listen, it's not true. You cannot buy tickets into heaven. And if you could, all the wealthy people around the world, Ronaldo and people like that, and Rooney, would all have the tickets. The prices would inflate, of course, because us poor people couldn't afford them. Only the rich would be getting into heaven. All the poor people, we'd be doomed. We're going to eternal separation. Could you imagine if this were the case and this is the way God had planned it? It would be a catastrophe for the poor people and all the rest. So, believe me, you cannot get golden tickets that get you into heaven. They don't exist. Now, what price do you put on your salvation? We've looked very briefly at wealth and what it can do for you, all the lovely things you can have in this lifetime, the wealthy have it. But what price would you put on your salvation? Are you prepared to put your trust in material wealth that you have in this life? All the stuff that this wealth can give you? Everything? God tells us that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot love the money and run after that, and that's your king, that's your God, and serve God at the same time. You can't do that. God must be first in your life. It must be him that you're following, or you're following the wealth. And for many, they choose to follow the wealth. I'm going to put up two verses here. This one's from Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity. Solomon wrote this, wisest man that ever lived. But the truth is this. Even if you have all the money that you could possibly have, like the rich man in our story, you will want more and more and more. You will never be satisfied with it, and you'll always want more and more and more. You're never happy with what you've got. The money becomes your master and you become a slave to it. And this is what you will love. You will love your money. Matthew 6:19-21 tells us, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart also will also be. And this is so true. You know, you think you're saving up all your money and your wealth and it's going to be doing you all the good and everything, and you've got it in the bank, you've $1 million in the bank, you've all the money you need, and you're happy. It will not last forever. When you die, it disappears. It doesn't go with you. All of that effort that you put into storing up earthly wealth is a complete and utter waste of time. Jesus teaches that all that we have on this earth will perish, decay, and come to nothing. Rather, store up your treasures in heaven. And me and Taddy used to laugh all the time about getting an extra bit of treasure up in heaven. My pile is huge in the corner, and Taddy's a tiny pile over there. All the good deeds that I'm doing, covenant of works and all that. And Taddy's is a wee small pile. But the thing about the treasures in heaven is, it's not just even about the treasure we're talking about, it's where your heart is. And your heart, where your heart is where your desires are. And if your desires are seated in the heavenly places that we've been looking at in the mornings, and if that where your heart is, and you're desiring to serve God, and He is first and foremost, then your treasures are great in heaven. They are fantastic, and you've got your places seated in the heavenlies with Jesus. We talked about that. That is where we want to be. However, the flip side is that your treasures are on earth, your vision and all that you desire is on the money that you have on earth. Therefore, you have really nothing except for what you have on the earth, and that will disappear. So, Jesus is telling us to set our heart, our thoughts, our mind, and everything, our treasures in heaven. Okay, the last bit of what Julie read tonight was this. So, Jesus had been through the whole parable, talked about God requiring the soul of the rich man. And then the last few bit he says is this. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. You know, I'm going to put up two things that I'd like, one of those and one of those. These are what I would desire to have, I would love to have this, you know, but I understand that this really means nothing. All the wealth and all the money I have comes to nothing. The warning tonight for the money lover is to be careful that the money in your life doesn't lead you astray, that the money of life doesn't become your God and your king, and that you serve the money and you aren't serving God. Money is a blessing. All that we have is a blessing from the Lord, and He decides to whom He will bless. But if your love is for money, you will despise God if you go after the money, and the money will become your God in your life. Your life is not measured by what you have materially. This is so important. You see the rich man with the big car and the big house and everything that he has. In God's sight, that means nothing. You're measured by your heart, by the way you live your life for God, by the attitude of your heart, by all the things that you're doing for God. That is what the measurement and the standard is. That are the scales and the justice that John has talked about. That is what everybody in here will be judged and set up against. Not against driving up to heaven in the pearly gates in the big Ferrari, saying, let me in, look at this. The gates of heaven, you cannot buy your way into. You cannot show up there with a ticket that I showed at the beginning of this talk and hand it in to the angel on the way in or whatever and say, there you go, I'm coming in. It's not going to work. The only way to enter into those gates and into the heavens is to put your trust in Jesus, to recognize what He has done for you, that He has paid the price for your sin, that He has paid down the debt, so that if you accept what He has done for you, then you have the right, you will, if you will, inherit that ticket that will allow you to enter into God's presence forever. However, if you think you can buy your way into heaven in the way that we've looked at it, you're wasting your time, and you'll be greatly disappointed when you realize at the end that all your wealth, all your money, and everything that you had and you desired really counts for nothing. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You tonight for showing me, Lord, that all the money and all the gold and all the silver in this world that I could desire really means nothing at all. My desire, Lord, and our desires should be to serve You, to follow You, to want to lay up our treasures in heaven, to be men and women in here, Lord God, who are seeking Your standard and your life and your blessing above everything else. And Lord, you promised too that if we put first the kingdom of God, everything else will be added onto us. Lord, help us to realize that our wealth is found in Jesus, and that everything that we have is in him and him alone.